The Mendelssohn Glee Club celebrates its 142nd season this year. The oldest men's chorus in the country was once the darling of Manhattan society, but it now performs in relative obscurity. Over the years, the club has suffered the loss of its concert hall and a decline in membership, money, and prestige. Still, reporter Lars Howell tells us that the men of the Mendelssohn Glee Club are sounding better than ever.
In an overheated church basement, two dozen men sit in folding chairs around a battered grand piano. They're trying to wrap their voices around a song for the club's upcoming Christmas concert. These are mostly untrained voices, and director Gene Wisoff is the man trying to train them.
Okay, it sounds pretty decent. A couple of things I want to point out. You guys are too loud at the top of page 4. The middle section was lovely. That was really nice. When you were humming, yeah, you couldn't open your big mouths. That was wonderful. Okay, bottom of page 4, last measure.
Gene Wisoff is the 15th Mendelssohn Glee Club director. He joins a roster that includes the composer Edward McDowell, who led the group in the 1890s. Other conductors were also the heads of Juilliard and the Metropolitan Opera. Gene Wisoff's resume includes work as a ringer, a professional singer brought in before a choir's big concert to prop up the amateur voices. In 1970, the Mendelssohn Glee Club hired him to do just that.
I was a good reader, and I also sang nicely and well, and so I got hired. There was this local agent who sent singers to different situations. You'd call up and say, I need a tenor and I need a baritone to do this. And the gig is this and this rehearsal, and they have to come in and do the performance, and I will pay them $125.
Shortly after becoming director, Gene Wisoff discovered the Mendelssohn Glee Club continued to use ringers. He says the practice not only cost too much, it was bad for the club's artistic health.
When I came in 95 and I saw how much money they were paying to have ringers cover up what couldn't be covered up, I said, this is not the way to do it, because if you bring ringers in, 2 weeks before the performance, and you have them do two rehearsals, and then they sing the performance, what happens is the rest of the chorus is still singing the same notes they always sang, or they're not singing at all.
These days, the Mendelssohn Glee Club is singing better than ever, according to Alan Needle. He's been with the club off and on since 1961. Then the conductor was Emerson Buckley. Compared to Gene Wisoff, Needle says Buckley wasn't all that demanding.
Buckley didn't seem to give a damn. I mean, maybe he did, but he didn't work with us the way Gene does. The results of our performances were amateurish, I believe, by comparison, because of that. I never remember him stopping and working over a section to get it right. And I would wonder, why don't we correct these things? Why doesn't he correct these things?
Yeah, I'm glad you looked up at me for the cutoff. That's good. You gotta look up at me. Take a chance. The music is not on the page, it's in your heads. Ready? 3, 4.
The day before their Christmas concert, the Mendelssohn Glee Club is rehearsing in a small church on Manhattan's Upper West Side. It's a nice little sanctuary, but a far cry from the club's glory days over 100 years ago, when a wealthy member gave them a parcel of land at 40th and Broadway, along with the money to build the four-story Mendelssohn Hall. Boasting an 1,100-seat auditorium complete with pipe organ, the hall was the centerpiece of one of the most elite organizations in the country. Gene Wisoff says the Mendelssohn Glee Club of that era reminds him of something out of a 19th century operetta.
These were high-powered people, bankers, businessmen, It sort of reminds me of Die Fledermaus with Orlovsky and this grand party. This is the event of the season, you know. And that's what Mendelssohn was. It was the event of the season. And only the rich and famous could go to those things and be invited. I mean, they didn't sell tickets. You were invited. And if you weren't invited, you didn't count.
Gene Wisoff says all that is now ancient history, along with Mendelssohn Hall, torn down in 1912. These days, the Mendelssohn Glee Club has difficulty filling even a small concert hall. Part of that is due to a decline in membership. The club has about 25 singing members, down from more than three times that many in its heyday. There's also a small matter of money. Wisoff says they're running out of it.
It seems as though the clubs, I'd say in the last 30 years, forgot that they weren't rich anymore. And they just continue to spend money.
Even though the club isn't what it once was, financially or socially, members agree the quality of its singing may be the best it's ever been. The paid professional singers are long gone, and they don't seem to be needed.
You have to tell them exactly what to do. That is, you say, I want you to start here at a certain volume and get a little quieter here, then lift up or hold this note just a touch longer or make it a little bit shorter or something like that. So you got to tell them exactly what they're supposed to do. And somewhere in all that, feelings will emerge. Because they think the music is on the page. They would swear that the music is not on the page. The music is in your heads. It's in your heart. It's not on that page.
In May, Gene Wisoff will direct the Mendelssohn Glee Club in the final concert of its 142nd season, at a location to be determined. For NPR News, I'm Lars Howell.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.